Okay, well, we're following on from last week, where we were looking at the four chambers of the heart. The whole pathway of relationship, which we're coming to the end of, leads to deeper intimacy with God. The focus is about confirmation into the image of sonship, so that we can become transformed into the image that God always created us to have. That purpose, so we can be manifested as sons living in dual realms, heaven and earth, fulfilling the creation mandate that God gave Adam to restore everything and bring heaven into alignment with earth, into alignment with heaven. Romans 12:1, do not be conformed to this world. And that's the process of removing all the program that's come from the outside in, nature, nurture, trauma. And that's a real key if we're going to come into sonship. Romans 8:29, for those he foreknew, he predestined. So it's our destiny to become conformed to the image of his son. And it doesn't mean we're like Jesus as a image, as how he looked, but actually in his sonship. So it's conformed to the image of sonship, and every one of us has been created to be a son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. So God didn't want one son; he wants a whole nation, world, universe of sons. In fact, Acts 3:20, that he may send Jesus, the Christ appointed for you, whom heaven must receive until the period of restoration of all things. So God is going to send Jesus to return, to bring us into the age to come and the ages to come, when things are all restored. So they're not restored fully now. So we need to find that restoration of things back to God's original purpose, and he requires sons to outwork that. It's always been sonship that would actually bring the fullness of God. So Genesis 1:28, God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and rule. And that's essentially the mandate for sons. And all of us have that mandate today. We have been blessed or empowered so that we can be fruitful, we can multiply, we can fill the earth by, in a sense, expanding the kingdom through our lives as a gateway of heaven onto the earth. Then we can begin to administrate that kingdom. So we bring the rule of God into our circumstances, our situations, and every sphere of government that God's given us, and then the kingdom will expand to fill the earth. It's not something that doesn't happen through sons. It happens through sons. It doesn't just happen where God will just do it, and all of a sudden the kingdom will fill the earth. It fills the earth through us. Romans 8:21, creation itself will also be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. And that's what sonship will be, a demonstration of the glory that God wanted his children to display on the earth. And that will bring everything into freedom. For we know the whole creation groans, suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. That childbirth, those groans, are waiting for sons to be manifested, so that sonship will answer that groan and bring everything back into harmony. So we've been looking at the gateways of spirit, soul, and body, and we're sort of on session 27 of that. So there's a lot on these four areas, but we're looking at the four chambers of the heart and how this process of intimacy brings us into sonship. So looking at the flow, we have our spirit, God is within our spirit, the rivers of living water need to flow through our spirit. So we need to deal with the familiar spirits that often sit outside of our spirit gates, trying to hinder us and intimidate us, get rid of them. And then we see there's a process that where we engage the garden of the heart, the dance floor. Now, the river of life will flow through our soul, but God wants us to be able to engage in the process that brings transformation, so that spirit and being joined to the Lord and one spirit with him will bring our soul and spirit back into full agreement. And although we can see the river of life flowing, and that would enable us to deal with some of the things that are in our soul so that we can be free in our soul, but there still needs to be an integration process where we become one, we become whole. And that's really this whole process of the dance floor, soap and room, bridal chamber. So cleansing the gateways is about removing the blockages and obstacles to that flow. The four chambers is about bringing transformation so we can be conformed to that image as mature sons. The garden is where intimacy begins to restore identity and sonship apart from works in a place of rest. We must not look to try and earn this or do it in our own strength. It's something we do, receiving it from God. Our identity comes from who God says we are, not what we do. And once we know who God says we are, we're then free to do what everything he's calling us to do. And that's a really important thing to get hold of in this. So the dance floor we looked at last week, where we begin to take on that image of sonship, engaging in the character, nature of God, the whole light of his DNA coming around us, bringing us into steps of transformation into his character, his nature, and who we are in governmental sonship. Soaking room is more about the place of preparation for soul and body, so that we're able to radiate the glory of God as his sons, and therefore the light which we should walk in, because we're supposed to be the light of the world. We need to do that by engaging God's light and the frequencies of his voice and various things that come around us in that place of soaking. Now, a lot of people would hear the word soaking and associate it with the type of thing people used to do by sitting under a lot of sort of worship music and just soaking in it. It really doesn't mean that at all. In fact, probably totally the opposite to that, in effect. There may be coming under the soaking of God's presence, but it isn't just a sense of we just hope God does something when we just sit there. There's an active participation that we need to have in the process. And when we understand what God does when he comes around us, we can join in with that. So it's the physical aspects of our transformation. It's not just spirit and soul. It is a physical transformation. We need to radiate light. We need to become restored back to what Adam was like. And Adam had the glory of God on the outside of him. His spirit, joined with God, was actually radiating light around him. It wasn't, he didn't look like we do now physically. So there is going to be a change and a restoration back to what God had, so that we can come into wholeness. We can come back into the fullness of the supernatural abilities that we have encoded within our DNA, which are, you know, some of the things that we now see coming out in superhero movies and things. There was things that God enabled Adam to do that was lost when sin came into the world. Further things were lost at the flood. Further things were lost at the Tower of Babel, which were all to do with engaging the frequencies of creation to use those frequencies to enable us to be outworking sonship, which is why engaging frequency is really important. When we take communion, one of the communion prayers is, I choose to bear the record, my eternal image, conform to the likeness of my Father and brother in heaven, transfigured to radiate their glory. So there has to be a change. Let the breath of God be breathed into my life, transform me into a living being, joined to the Lord, one spirit with him, so I can actually function how Adam functioned and function how Adam would have functioned if he'd continued the process of maturity into sonship. Because he was sinless but not perfected, we need to carry on with that process of perfecting. Psalm 8:4, what is man that you have thought of him, the son of man that you take care of him? Yet you have made him a little lower than God, and you crown, surround him with glory and majesty. You make him to rule over the works of your hand. You put all things under your feet, under his feet. God always intended for us to rule, and he enabled us to have everything we needed to be able to do that. That's what Jesus came back to restore. It wasn't just to bring salvation and a ticket to heaven. It was to restore everything that was lost all throughout history back to his original purpose in eternity. So when we're looking at this process, we've equated it to the Hebrew marriage, which mirrors it. And there are five aspects to that process. The lakah, the I want you, garden. The segula, you're my treasured possession, the dance floor. The mikvah, the soaking room, which was the time of preparation for what was coming. The kiddushin, which was the betrothal, which then they did that under the first hooper covering, which is the ketubah, making the agreement. And then the second hooper was the bridal chamber. So there was a process that equates to what we're doing in here. So it's about relationship and intimacy, but there are things that needed to be done in that process. It wasn't like we do now. You can turn up on the day in the registry office, having paid your dues, and basically say a few things and it's done. This was something much more intense, serious, and there was a process that they went through for this to take place. So the marriage requires a ketubah, an agreement, and that ketubah required a mikvah, and the mikvah was, hey, you need to prepare. You need to get ready for what's coming. Don't go into it unprepared. So without that engaging and the preparation, there can be no consummation of the marriage. So if we want to go into the fullness of what our relationship with God is, we must be prepared for that preparation. When we engage the soaking room, it can open up corresponding places in the realms of heaven that are places of transfiguration, transformation. And I'll go into more of that next week when we look at the second aspect of this. Soaking room is really a place of change. Transformation, transfiguration equals metamorphosis. That's the actual meaning of the word. Metamorphosis is the change from one form into another. It isn't just, well, I'm going to think differently, I'll behave differently, I'll act differently. It's actually, I'm going to be different. I'm going to be a son. And that we need to get hold of. So in the process of metamorphosis, and we use various examples of that, and I'm going to use one example this week, one example that next week. The example I want to use is the tadpole to a frog. That's what metamorphosis was. The tadpole swam around in a pool or a pond and turned into a frog through the process of transfiguration, metamorphosis. Change, when we look at change, how do we view change? Do we see it as an opportunity, or actually do we see it as something that brings insecurity? And we have to look at those issues, because if we struggle with change, then we're going to struggle with the process of transformation. Why would we struggle with change? Well, perhaps because of fear of the unknown, or we're comfortable where we are, even though it might not be perfect, we still can still be comfortable. Actually, change sounds like hard work, you know? It's like if it could happen in an instant, you know, with a wave of a magic wand, I think everyone would be happy for change. But actually, that's not the process that God uses. He uses things to bring things into the surface in our lives that enables us to want to get rid of them and be prepared to change. Better the devil you know. Some people would just rather stick to what they know because they at least understand it and they're secure in it. But actually, it can be second, third, fourth, fifth best. And you don't want to be stuck in something which is not God's best. God wants the best for all of us, and therefore we must embrace change. If there's no change, there's no transformation. If there's no metamorphosis, we can't come into the maturity of sonship and therefore have all the restored attributes of sons. So metamorphosis is a process of change that will bring our spirit, soul, and body into the form that God is desired in eternity. To bring that creation aspect and restore it. So there are different processes for the tadpole as there are for the butterfly, which we'll look at next week. One is in water and one is in heat. Now, you know, you might think, well, I like one better than the other, but I'm not going to share both of them this week, so you're going to have to choose a couple of weeks' time. But actually, you probably need both, and that's the reality. Yeah, God's presence has, in one way, enables us to soak and change, and in another way it brings heat, which brings change. So in reality, both processes are actually seasons of restriction, because the tadpole cannot get out of the pond. He lives in a confined place, where later on, when he becomes a frog, he has the ability to live in two places, dual realms. Same thing with the butterfly. The butterfly, as a caterpillar, will never become a butterfly unless it goes into the chrysalis, into the cocoon, which applies heat and restriction to bring change. So there's a process, and so you see the tadpole, it comes out of the frog spawn, and it sort of starts swimming around and looks like a little tail and stuff, and then it starts to produce different things. The tail gets shorter, little legs, little arms start to form on its body, and eventually it has a completely different system that it lives by. So in the process, we must be prepared to engage the restriction so that we can receive the freedom. The caterpillar and the tadpole, in a sense, they don't have a choice, do they? We have a choice. We can embrace this or not, Now, the seasons that we come in of restriction, in a sense, relate to the two coverings that God brings in marriage, where God covers to bring change and transformation. Under those coverings, we then are prepared and ready to come into the place of consummation, where God wants to bring us into the fullness. So those restrictions will challenge the tetherings that the soul has into the earthly realm. Because you'll never live in, like a tadpole could never live outside of the water until its respiratory system was totally changed, because it has gills. You know, its oxygen, its source of stuff comes through its gills in the water. And if you're not in the water, there's no way that you can get oxygen as a tadpole. A frog has a breathing respiratory system which breathes air. So things change. So if we're going to engage in heaven and earth and become a fully manifested son, then we need to embrace those processes that bring that change to us. And it isn't just a little bit of change. I mean, the tadpole looks nothing like the frog. The caterpillar looks nothing like the butterfly. There is a real transformation. It's a real transfiguration. That's where the whole earthbound restrictions of just living in the earth will have to be challenged, and that change will need to take place. And the soul is what often tethers us to the earth, because the soul gets its identity and everything from the earth, because we've not been used to living in the realms of heaven. You know, when I first started to engage heaven, my soul had to be in that realm with my spirit. And until I dealt with that, I couldn't live in dual realms. So I had to deal with the restrictions that the soul was putting on so that I could be transformed. So in that place of restriction, things get removed. The tail and the gills of the tadpole got removed. So the tadpole's reliance on living in water was then removed. It was then free to live in both places. So the dependencies our soul and body have on the world will change. The source of life will flow from the inside out, not the outside in. So our identity is often derived from earthly sources. And that whole perspective will get challenged in this process. You know, when I look at the whole thing of consummation, I'll go into detail in terms of my own testimony of how that got challenged. But it wasn't easy, and restrictive places never are. You know, it's like when God starts to put us into a season of change and transformation, it can get quite uncomfortable because it's not normal for us. So everything where we've been conformed to the world through those experiences of our lives, nature, nurture, trauma, will be exposed and brought into the light if we're going to change. Because we have to choose to let them go. There's a sense where God will create the environment, but it requires our participation. We have to surrender. So the soaking room is really the mikveh of the marriage in preparation for the betrothal and eventually in preparation for the consummation. So it's not only things that get removed, things get changed and added. So if we're going to live in dual realms, we need the capacity to be able to do that. So the tadpole gets legs and a new respiratory system. So as the frog, it can actually live in those dual realms. Actually, if you look in the Bible many times in people's lives, in Bible characters, you find they go through a process where they get restricted and that produces change. It prepares them for their destiny. You look at the story of Jacob under Laban. You know, he had to go through and jump through all the hoops, you know, and God was in the process, but actually he was not free while he was there. Moses in the wilderness, he spent 40 years in the wilderness, 40 years in Egypt, 40 years in the wilderness, and then another 40 years in another wilderness. There was a process that he was going through to prepare him. David didn't just become king overnight, even though he was anointed to be king as a lad. He went through various things where he was restricted. He lived in Adullam's cave, you know, which was, you know, not the place where a king would usually live. So some of these things, Jeremiah, you look at Jeremiah's life. He was called as a child with a destiny to be a prophet to the nations. He went through a lot of processes of anguish of soul to finally outwork his calling. And then you have Joseph and Esther, you know, and those are the two really I want to just focus on, because they have a a connection to what God is doing in terms of sonship. So Joseph was prepared by having a revelation of God's purpose for his life. He had a dream, dreams that revealed he was going to be in rulership. Now, he wasn't very smart, probably, in sharing those, and probably a bit cocky, I guess, in sharing the way he did. And it offended his brothers and his family. And eventually, he ended up in a pit. And then he was sold into slavery. And then he was in stewardship. And in that stewardship, he ended up in the prison. And even in prison, he was ignored and forgotten. And yet, when the right time came about, he allowed those things in his life to shape the fact that it taught him to rely on God when he then came into the fullness and rulership of a nation. You know, out of the obscurity of a prison into essentially second in charge in the whole of Egypt. He went through that process. You know, it would be really great if we didn't have to, but actually we're not as we should be. Therefore, God has to use whatever he needs to do in our lives to bring us to that point where we will embrace the change. Esther, who was being prepared to engage the king, went through 12 months of preparation to enable her to be ready to engage the king. And she was, of course, soaked with oils and perfumes, which is, again, an illustration of the soaking room place. So the soaking room engages essentially body and soul to prepare us to begin to release the light of God's glory from within. It starts to realign the frequencies of our physical body, restores resonance and harmony and balance with God's frequency. There's a sense where there are photons of light within our DNA, which can be excited by things, not excited in, you know, excited in terms of activated, and therefore released. So we can become sons of light. You know, I fully believe that we will radiate light. You know, just like Jesus did at his transfiguration, I believe we will radiate light. But there need to be changes to our physical body as well as our soul to do that. God as Father is calling us into sonship, therefore, to embrace the restrictions of transformation so we can come into the full freedom that sonship has. It's worth going through a period of restriction so that you can come into full freedom. You know, and although, you know, my testimony of going through this myself was quite difficult, actually looking back, you know, I would do it in a second because it brought so much change into my life. So to receive the whole full revelation of our eternal destiny, to live multidimensionally, you know, we're not going to be restricted to two realms as a full son. John 3:30 says, he must increase, but I must decrease. And this is what happens in this process. He adds to me what's like him and takes away from me what's not like him, which is a good deal, but it's not easy. So I need to surrender. When I learn to surrender, I present myself to him so that I can be changed and conformed into that sonship image. It's me and my choice to surrender, and it's a daily choice. You know, I have free will, so I can choose every day which path I'm going to follow. In this season, you have to choose to embrace it. God won't force it on you, but he will create the environment which will lead you towards making that choice. So what is soaking? Well, as a definition, it says to make or allow something to become thoroughly wet by immersing in a liquid. That's one definition. Some synonyms are immerse, steep, submerge, submerse, dip, sink, dunk, bathe, wet, rinse, douse, marinate, souse, and pickle. So think of the soaking room as being pickled or marinated in something, which actually you take on the flavor of what you're in. And that's the whole process. When you're surrounded by the flavor, frequencies, fragrances of God's presence contained in the river of life, you can take on those frequencies that will begin to change you and make you carry that flavor. You know, and it's like, you know, do we want to be pickled? Well, not in onion vinegar, I guess not, but in God's presence, yeah, you know. So literally, it's to be baptized. You know, that's what immersed, the whole thing is being baptized into the presence of God in such a way that it goes beyond anything we've ever experienced before. And everything with God is always deeper, deep calling to deep. So he's calling us deeper and deeper. So our original baptism experience, when I was baptized, I think about 17, was I wanted to do it out of obedience. I found it in the Word of God and I wanted to obey, so I did it. I had no clue what it really meant. You know, the experience was getting wet, you know, and in a sense, it was my commitment publicly to say Jesus is Lord and I want to follow him. But I didn't understand the fullness of what that meant. When I got baptized in the Spirit, it was an amazing experience with the love of God, but there was no power associated with it. I had to then get baptized in a deeper level of the Spirit to release the power of God. And then actually it says we're not just going to be baptized in water or the Spirit. It says we're going to be baptized in fire. So the fire aspect of it, we're going to look at next week because it tends to get a bit hot in the fire. So we're going to look at the water first, which sounds more pleasant, and then we'll get onto the fire. So the soaking room is a place of preparation in the river of life and in the river of fire, and both flow from the thrones of God. Baptized in the river of life. Now, the river of life is not H2O. You know, it's not water. It's living water, which is the very essence of life encoded within the frequencies of God. So in when we come into, because God is spirit, so it's his spirit which is described as rivers of living water or the river of life, actually flows around us and we're baptized into it at a completely different level once we get to the place of the soaking room. So the sound of many waters, which is the sound of his voice, that creational frequency that God established comes around us. And there's a whole process where we engage in that. So to be marinated or pickled in the essence of life is a good thing. Our eternal life carries a frequency or a pattern that God starts to bring around us so that we come back into wholeness and alignment with what God always intended. And it, there's a physical aspect of that, and there's an emotional and a soul aspect to it. But we need it if we're going to come into the fullness that God's got. Isaiah 43:2 says, you will pass through the waters and I'll be with you, through the rivers and they'll not overflow you. In other words, kill you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. But it will get hot if we want to be changed. You know, heat causes things to vibrate at a higher frequency, and therefore it can bring change. So there's a picture that is a heart, which is like fire and water coming together. And that is really where God wants us to engage. So soaking in the higher frequency of his love. Now that sounds really nice, and it is. You know, for his love to come around us and begin to change and transform us. So it's the higher frequencies of his spiritual words. John 6:63 says, in the spirit, it's the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I've spoken to you are spirit and are life. So his word starts to come around us when we do it. So the river of life vibrates with the frequencies that cause our DNA to start to trigger change and resequencing. Now, you know, I've gone into DNA quite a lot in the past, you know, but you know, they discovered that there is a syntax and language within our DNA that can actually be changed. They've done it through laser modulated light with sound, engaging it, and it brings change and realignment of DNA. Well, when God's sounds and light come around us, it can actually bring changes within our DNA to unlock and restore and bring us back into wholeness. So we can start to resonate. Resonance is where a higher frequency raises the frequency of that which connects it to it in simple terms. It's not necessarily technical, but when you come close to God, you will begin to become more like him. You'll begin to take on his shape and form in those frequencies as they're revealed. So it's a sense, it's a trigger for health and wholeness. Each of our organs has frequencies. We have a frequency of our body that often is out of sync with what it should be. And therefore, that's what brings sickness and different things to our physical body. So when our body comes into a resonant agreement with the pattern that God created us, it will restore it back to the right condition. So the whole revelation of frequencies is being used in lots of different things right now. Essential oils, high frequencies that can be used to realign our bodies. Also in terms of music, you know, healing frequencies through sound, tones, solfeggio frequencies. There are all sorts of things out there that you can find. Some of it is really good and some of it is a mixture, but the principles are there. You know, we've even retuned our instruments to a different frequency from 440 down to 430 because that frequency is more in tune with the things of creation. And there's really interesting stuff out there. All those things are valid and I wouldn't knock any of them. But I believe once we start to engage the soaking room, we get to engage with the reality of God's frequency, not just that which comes through an oil or comes through music. So engaging that, we get direct spiritual connection to God's frequencies that flow from his throat. And that can bring great change once we embrace it. In fact, if you think back to beginning, Genesis 1:2, the Spirit of God was moving or hovering or brooding or vibrating over the face of the waters. And his vibrational frequency brought the waters back into wholeness because they were without form and void. And the vibrational frequencies of God's voice in the Holy Spirit actually brought restoration. It's like an overshadowing or a brooding brings change. And in fact, Luke 1:35, the angel answered Mary and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." So much so that it actually produced Jesus's life in her. So this is a powerful thing. And there are lots of things in the realms of heaven that carry frequencies. The tree of life carries in its fruit and in its leaves frequencies and fragrances for purification and preparation and so much when you engage it. You know, so there are places even in the realms of heaven where you can engage in these things. You know, Jesus was given high frequency oils when he was a child. Matthew at 2:11, they opened their treasures, presented to him gold, frankincense and myrrh. Luke 23:56, at the end of his life, they were going to put perfumes and spices over his physical body. When they got there, they found he was not there. You know, so oils and perfumes are symbolic of the Holy Spirit's anointing frequency. Isaiah 10:27, so it will be in that day that his burden will be removed from your shoulders and his yoke from your neck. The yoke will be broken because of the anointing, the frequency of oil of the Holy Spirit. Esther 4:14, and who knows whether you have not, have you obtained royalty for such a time as this? That's what was said of Esther. But Esther, in Esther 2:12, it says, when the turn of each young lady came to go into the king, after the end of her 12 months under the regulations for women, for the days of their beautification were completed as follows, 6 months with the oil of myrrh and 6 months with the spices and cosmetics for women. Now, you know, in this, guys, we don't have to worry about physical things in that, in the same way, but actually it's like we're being prepared and we have to be willing to go through the process of our beautification, which brings us into who God created us to be so we can come into the fullness. So then when you see the whole thing with Esther, you know, who knows whether you've been attained royalty or called to the kingdom for such a time as this? Well, I believe we've all been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. But Esther had to go through the process that enabled her to come into the king and to engage in the intimacy with the king. So we're all called to be royal priests and therefore to expand his kingdom and his government as sons, to answer creation's groan, to bring that freedom and bring that restoration. So overshadowing is like the vibrating energy of the Holy Spirit in the river of life that causes that shaking in us, that vibrational, that shifting of things, realignment, transformation, transfiguration into our body, our soul, so many areas. So resonance and harmony, that our whole identity and destiny comes back into the rightful place. So all matter actually has frequency. Everything that you see, everything that you can touch and feel and taste, it all has frequency. It's all vibrating. You know, it's described as an electrical current or force or a vibrational energy. We're familiar with that, obviously, in light and sound waves, but everything has that. Our bodies, our thoughts, our emotions all have frequency. We may not be able to detect them in the same way, but we can certainly feel the result of them. When you're feeling heavy and weighed down and oppressed, it has an effect on your whole body and how you live. That is a low frequency. When you are operating in the fullness of joy and peace and love, which is high frequency, everything feels different. Life looks, the world looks different when you actually see it from the perspective of a higher frequency. We say, you know, gray days. You know, it's like, oh, it's miserable today. You know, because we are operating under a low frequency in our thinking. So as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So our frequencies that we're in contact with actually affect us. Or actually, the frequency that we radiate should be affecting other things. That's why rivers of living water need to flow through us, not just stay within us. So sound, color, and movement working together in harmony have an effect on the natural and the spiritual realm. And that's why we use banners and colors and flags and different movements. And obviously, Joe does a lot of this. They can change atmospheres. They can open up portals. They can do things between connecting the realms of the heaven and earth. So a substance with a higher frequency can raise a lower frequency due to the principle of entrainment, which is a technical term, the tendency of two oscillating bodies to lock into phase so that they vibrate in harmony. That's what we're doing when we're coming together in the soaking room. We're wanting to vibrate in harmony with God's frequency that he has. So the whole principle of that helps us understand the effect of different frequencies on our personal electromagnetic frequency of our life. Yeah, because we all have one. Essential oils are the power of frequency is that they're the highly concentrated life force of a plant. That's the description of it. They have a high frequency. When applied to the human body, either internally, externally, they can raise the body's specific frequencies, therefore promoting health and restoration. Now, obviously, it needs to go together as a package. You can't just stick a bit of oil on there without faith. You know, you have to engage in the reality of that. Obviously, the power is power in music, in sound. David plays his harp for King Saul when he was tormented by evil spirits. His music was restorative. It was pure worship and therefore raised the frequency and the atmosphere. And our engagement in that, once we flow through what we play, and what's the flow of the life of God is not just we're producing a sound through an instrument, it's actually a connection with the flow of the spirit flowing through us. So people can play the same instrument and play the same notes and it not actually change anything. Others can play the same thing, but in the power of the spirit and with that spiritual connection to it, which can change all sorts of things. So that's why the evil spirits had to flee, because they couldn't stand what David was connected to. And if you read David's life and David's tabernacle and the keys of David, you'll find that he operated in a different spiritual dimension to anyone else that had operated before that way. So we've all experienced the effects of different frequencies in music. You know, some of them are soothing and they bring us into a sense of relaxation and peace, which is why we play certain types of music when we meditate. You know, you don't play heavy rock music when you meditate, because actually heavy rock music carries frequencies that break things. That's what it's supposed to do. You know, and even when we play some more rock type praise, it's supposed to break things open because it carries a frequency which opens things and breaks things open. So in a sense, the spirit, the frequency of the music we're experiencing can affect us good or bad. You know, and we need to make sure the things we're listening to carry the right spirit, because sometimes things can be imparted into some other music which can have a negative effect on us. You know, let's not say don't listen to music, just be aware if it's having a negative effect on you. You know, matching frequencies. An opera singer hitting a certain high note can make glass shatter. Literally, the sound of her voice is matching the frequency of the glass, and her voice eventually overpowers the glass. That's how powerful frequency would be. The glass molecules can no longer hold together, so they break apart and they shatter. So frequency, once you start applying it, can change things. We just need to learn how to apply it. So even our thoughts and feelings have a vibrational quality, which is measurable. There's a measurable frequency. So our negative mental states can lower a person's frequency by 10 to 12 megahertz when they measure it. So that's why positive thinking is good. And it works even if you're not a Christian. People with a positive outlook on life tend to have a higher frequency. So a substance or influencing factors, our thoughts, our emotions, frequency of things, devices around us can also raise or lower our frequency. You know, which is why there's a lot of things talking about mobile phones and different things about the frequencies they have on your brain when you put them to your ear. You know, because they carry a frequency, and there's sort of people are starting to do research. Is that going to actually produce a generation of people who have problems in their brain frequencies because of the frequencies they're putting up to their ears? No, my phone hardly ever gets up to my ear, so I never have that sort of problem. You know. So the human body actually vibrates in a normal frequency range between 62 and 68 megahertz is considered a state of health. Energy disturbances in our body often precede the appearance of disease or illness in our body. So we need to be careful to keep our frequency correct. So the normal, harmonious, coherent frequencies of the body go out of tune or out of sync. And that's when people often experience physical or emotional stress that creates that environment that brings a lowering of frequency. So when the frequency range drops below 62 megahertz, abnormal processes can start to develop. Properly retuning the body to its original frequency can bring balance, restore a natural harmonic resonance. Illness does not manifest or is resolved. That's why we need to learn how to control the frequencies of our body. Now, Jesus was able to do that in a miraculous way, and he was able to therefore move through things, disappear, you know, go into a different realm, because he was able to control the frequencies of his body. The whole universe actually is vibrationally out of sync and balance with the spiritual realm, which is why it's groaning. It's producing a low frequency sound. You know, and that is a really, really low frequency sound. And apparently it's a B flat. Is it 270 octaves below the piano B flat? It's a really, really low sound, but it's producing that sound and groaning, waiting for us. So 52 megahertz is the frequency of a body with Epstein-Barr virus present, which is not a good thing to have. 42 megahertz, the frequency of a body where cancer can appear. Where death processes begin, it goes down to 20 megahertz. So these things are not good, really. So we need to make sure we keep a higher frequency. Now, there's a diagram there of all the different body organ frequencies. You know, the brain has some, the body has some. They, when you start to apply frequencies, you can actually apply them. When you lay hands on people, you can apply a frequency to an organ that raises it, because your hand vibrates at a higher rate of energy when you lay your hands on somebody. Literally, you get hot. Your hands get hot or start to vibrate with a frequency you have to direct into the area that needs restoring and bringing up in the frequency. Same with the brain. The brain has lots of different frequencies that has symptoms that we need to be aware of, particularly through stress. So actually sound, as words, have frequency, which is why, according to Proverbs 18:21, there is power of life and death is in the tongue. So we can speak things that have a frequency that can actually bring life or death. So the words of truth, which are light, let's say, high frequency, can promote healing, while words that are lies, darkness, no frequency, can be destructive, even producing death. And people's negative words and what they speak can be powerfully to be good things and bad things. If you speak positively, they change things. So God himself spoke the universe into existence, and his frequency is still vibrating at the core of everything to hold it all together. Thessalonians 5:23 says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So God wants us to engage this process where everything comes back into harmony, balance, functioning as an integrated whole being, not fragmented. You know, part of the problem is we start life fragmented, we get more fragmentation through our lives. Now God wants to remove that fragmentation and bring us into wholeness. So we need to be whole in those three areas. You know, in a sense, this means you have to bring body, soul, and spirit together. You know, you can eat healthily and yet have unhealthy attitudes or experiences, grief and depression, and your overall health will suffer. Or you can actually eat unhealthily and it can affect how the rest of you is feeling. So you may be feeling really good, but actually your body can have an effect on the rest of you. So there are many spiritual people actually who are still sick because they don't eat healthily. You know, so you need to do it together. Body, soul, and spirit needs to come together in this. So depression, grief, sadness, anger, and negativity, unforgiveness actually can program our DNA to produce sickness and disease and be passed on to another generation epigenetically. So it's really important that we get this right. Love, joy, peace, praise, thankfulness, forgiveness can program our DNA to produce healing, health, and wholeness. Healing anointed prayer is where we lay hands on someone and we actually look to release frequencies that can prepare and reprogram someone's organs and their cells, releasing trauma from people's cells, which have had effect, even reprogram their DNA. Now, we've looked at pictures before on the effect that words has on water. Water, our whole bodies are made up with, say, 68% water and our brains 85% water. So water is a very important part of us, and words have effects and emotions on water. And, you know, we've had pictures of these things where, you know, you had a jar of water which had a piece of masking tape on it that says, "You make me sick," and another jar of water on it which had something like, "I love you." And they then look at that under a dark field microscopic picture and they find that the water crystals from the negative jar are just horrible looking and the water crystals from the positive jar actually are beautiful crystals. And there's lots of pictures that do that. And they show heavy metal music when they play it into water and they look at the crystalline structure, there is no crystals. It is just a mess. So it is really important that we understand how words, thoughts, feelings affect our physical reality. So our written, spoken words, positive, negative thoughts, positive and negative sounds, our words and thoughts can create or cancel those negative frequencies. So we need to be careful to apply, in a sense, godly thinking, meditation, to change our belief systems, to resonate with the life of God. That will bring changes to our life. You know, godly speaking, godly thinking, consciously actually starting to take authority over our physical realm by speaking truth and life into it. Because we have the authority over our life. Because we are sons and we've been given that authority. Yes, use it effectively. Einstein said, concerning matter, we've had it all wrong. What we've called matter is energy whose vibration has been lowered so that it to be perceptible to the senses. There is no matter. So in reality, everything is operating through frequency, vibrational energy. We just perceive it as solid because it's been vibrating at a frequency that is for us, we can engage with. So Jesus did that by using the understanding of that to effectively walk on water. He controlled the vibrational frequency of the water and it became solid when he touched it. He multiplied food. He did things by controlling those frequencies. He had the power over frequency because he created it all. He understood how the quantum and the physical realm work together. So in a sense, the quantum physics has discovered many of the things that Jesus created the laws of the spiritual and physical realm with, we now can begin to understand how we can engage in those things. So essentially, sound music frequencies are important in the whole process of transformation. Frequencies that promote those things. There's been a battle over this musical frequency, tuning to 440 or 432, whatever. It's like changing the solfeggio scale frequencies. There's something been going on because of the power that there is within sound, you know, and essentially, you know, the whole musical thing, you know, is a quote. Essentially, music has been placed in a box of limitations as the result of rigidity imposed by 12-tone equal temperament tuning standards that we use today. Although it's difficult to describe the special qualities of just intonation intervals, those who have never heard them, words such as clarity, purity, smoothness, stability come readily to mind. The supposedly consonant intervals and chords of the 12-tone equal temperament deviate from the simple ratios to varying degrees, sound rough, restless, muddy in comparison, which is why we retuned our instruments. But it goes way beyond that. The whole thing, actually, if we understand how frequency and these things in music, we will be able to do a lot of different things. So the original solfeggio frequencies use Pythagorean method and have a root note of 3, 6, and 9 numerically. Nikola Tesla, who was a scientist who had a very, very interesting way of engaging with sounds and different things, and he invented lots of different things. So if you only knew the magnificence of 3, 6, and 9, you would have the key to the universe. So our modern day musical scale is slightly out of sync from the original solfeggio sequences, and therefore it's more dissonant. The original solfeggio scale was only 6 notes. They added another one. So in, you know, standard music, where you get the do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, actually there was no T. There was just the first 6. And I have a diagram with essentially with each of those 6 notes, what their frequencies are and what effects they have when we engage them. And UT 396, liberating guilt and fear. RE, RE 417, resolving trauma and facilitating change. ME 528, transformation and miracles, healing. FA 639, connecting and connecting relationships. SOL 6741, expression and communication. LA 852, awakening and intuition. Now, I'm not a musician, so I don't know. There's several I'm looking at you musicians here who know much more about this. But there are people who are beginning to use these frequencies and the multiples of 3, 6, and 9 and how that will bring change and transformation. And, you know, they're applying some of these things specifically. So people are using 5, 2, 8 and trying to use those tonal frequencies to bring healing. And they're even creating technological devices. I mean, David Vancouvering is a Christian guy who invented the Moog synthesizer and all sorts of different things using sound, you know, is developing a device to try and bring healing frequencies. So we need to understand that. And, you know, we've been embracing it because actually that 432 hertz is actually the governing frequency of the whole created universe. And if you look at how the planets revolve and how they align and all the orbital movements, it all comes down and can be broken down into that 432 number. Therefore, that number is the only frequency capable of reproducing what is called a Pythagorean musical spiral in the water of our cells. And interestingly, that whole sequence is what we find in creation in the formula of phi, the golden mean in Fibonacci number sequences, how they create patterns of the ferns and the snails, squirrels, and all the different things all come down to that same basic golden mean. God used that to create everything. And once we understand how to tune into that, we will actually be able to operate, particularly when we're talking about operating under the laws of heaven on the earth in cities of refuge or embassies of heaven. We're going to need to understand a lot of this stuff to be able to effectively control our environment. When they play 432 hertz through water and they look at the sound images, it actually produces a wonderful spiral pattern, which with all the spiral things coming to that 432 connection as it is in the whole heavens. And when they play 440 hertz, it's just a mess. You know, I'd love to show you the diagrams, but they're there. So the question is, you know, are we prepared to be overshadowed by the river of life, by the frequencies of God? Are we prepared to enter a place that restricts us to a degree so that we can become free? Are we prepared for change? You know, are we prepared to resonate with the frequencies of God? You know, the prayers that are in communion, again, I would encourage you to take those prayers, use them, engaging the dance floor and engaging the soaking room. Make yourself available for the DNA of God to start to engage you. So, you know, one of the things says, I choose to bear the record, my eternal image. It's like, embrace that so that you can be transfigured to actually release the light and everything else that's within you. You know, speak creative words to your DNA to release the supernatural abilities of God. Trigger the ability to see and move in the realm of the kingdom. Trigger the ability to transform matter, control light and sound, because those are abilities that belong to us as sons. So we'll just do a short exercise just to open that up. But this is something that's a season that you have to engage in. It's not something you can do as a one-off and just expect that's it. You know, there's a seasonal aspect to this that we need to be willing to engage in. And in engaging it, it will bring continued transformation and change. So I want to encourage you again, as we normally do, just close your eyes, just begin to focus. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him, he with me. Just picture that door, first love gate within your spirit. Just reach out to the handle, open the door, and just activate through the eyes of your heart the presence of God coming through that doorway as the river of life, as the essence of heavenly life, of God's frequencies coming around you. You can drink that living water so it flows through you. It can become rivers flowing through you. But just engage the river, allow it to flow around you, and just flow with it as it flows through the garden of your heart, flows through the dance floor, and just flows into that soaking room. Just allow his frequencies and light and sound, the sound of many waters, the oils and fragrances of his presence, just to surround you, just to come around you. Just begin to soak, surrender, and allow him to marinate you in his presence. Just allow that living water to flow all around you, baptizing you deeper and deeper into the sound of his voice. Just releasing you from the tethers that your soul has imposed, keeping you earthbound, functioning in only one sphere. Just releasing you into sonship. Let the healing frequencies come around you. Again, just don't let this be a one-off. Just surrender and embrace the dance floor and the soaking room, the garden. Just allow the intimacy of his presence to bring change and transformation to our lives, bringing us back into his original condition and purpose, bringing us into wholeness, spirit, soul, and body, back into sonship.